number 834. 834 is going to be our first song. When we follow what Romans 12, 1 and 2 teaches us, we're in a great position to commit to God. Have you committed your salvation, first of all, to God? When we start thinking about that commitment, we look at ourselves, and if we understand the message of God, it seems we're going to understand that without Jesus, without the sacrifice that was made, without the commitment of God's loving us so much that he would give his only begotten son, we're not going to have salvation. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, Paul says, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." We're about to sing this message that salvation has been brought down. As we go through our message tonight in song and in scripture, you need to be thinking, have you committed your salvation to the Lord based on that knowledge of the Word of God, that full, complete message that teaches us what we need to do to commit our salvation to the Lord?
Jesus gave his life a ransom yonder on Calvary, on Mount Calvary, cruel Calvary. Paved the way by blood that we might win a bright shining crown. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, salvation has been brought down. Go and shout and tell it the world around. Tell it today. Tell it today. Preach the word of God that we might win a crown. Tell the lost salvation is full and free. Spread the news all over the land and sea. Tell it afar. Tell it afar. Praise the Lord, salvation has been brought down. There's a blessing.
671 will be our next song. There's a lot of work to do. I mentioned that as we introduced our worship tonight. Work on every hand. There are people in great need, people in great need of a visit right here in our city. There are people who are in need of encouragement right here in our city. There are people who are lost right here in our city. And we need to be thinking about the work that needs to be done to move us to do that work. As we think about it, that's not enough. We need to be moved to be committed to do the work that God has given to us. Going into all the world includes going into the streets and places here in our great city, in our great county. And so we want to be committed to the work that God has given us to do. In Proverbs 16 and verse 3, notice the way in which the wise man says this, the order in which he says this. Commit your works to the Lord. You commit to the Lord the work that you are planning to do. And then he says, your thoughts will be established. They will be firm. They will be grounded. When you begin thinking about work that you want to do, won't matter unless you're committed. But if you're committed to the Lord to do his work, the thinking that you do about the work and the commitment that you have made will be firmly established. Let's commit our works to the Lord. Number 379 will be our next song. As we think about our commitment to God, what goal do you have? Or maybe we should say, what goals do you have? As you think about your life, about your future, what are your plans for the Lord? It's easy to talk about spring break plans. It's easy to talk about summer vacation plans. It's easy to talk about any number of plans that we might have to make for the work that we do in our secular job. What plans, what goals do you have for the Lord? Do you intend to be better at something that would help in the work, that would help in the procuring of your own salvation as well as the salvation of others? Do you plan to study more, to read more, to teach more? Do you plan to go more on behalf of the Lord? What goals do you have? You see, when we think about everything in terms of commitment to God, we need to commit our goals to the Lord as well. In Job 5 and verse 8, Job, in all of the trouble that he had, he said, "But as for me, I would seek God, and to God I would commit my cause." Here is a man who has lost unbelievably in this life. We suffer sadness, sickness, death. I don't know of anyone in this room that could claim to have suffered the losses that Job suffered. And in the midst of all of his suffering, not only did he lose his family except for his wife, he lost all of his possessions. We fuss sometimes about the lack of things that we have and all the things we'd like to do and all the places we would like to go. Job had such a great loss, and in the midst of it, he said, "I would commit my cause to God." First of all, we have to decide what that cause is. And when we decide it, it should not matter the circumstances, no matter how severe, how tough they are. Most of us in this room really have had it made almost all of our lives, if not all of our lives. And we need to think about committing our cause to the Lord, our goals to the Lord. In Psalm 37 and verse 5, the psalmist said, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will bring it to pass." I trust so much in what I am able to do. And when I see that I'm not capable, I feel a failure. When I see that I can't get over some hump in life's roadway by myself and on my own, if someone has said, "This is the way life is going to be for you," it may be some illness, it may be some relational difficulty, it may be any number of things that we're going to struggle with unthinkably. But we need a cause, even in those hard and difficult times. And we need to commit that cause to God. When we commit that cause to God and we trust in Him, God says through the inspiration of the Psalms, He will bring our cause to pass. "665" will be our next song. I've mentioned already that there are people who are suffering, some sitting in this room, suffering loss, suffering illness. Maybe you're suffering from being hard of hearing. It may be your vision is not as good as you would like. There are people who are suffering from loneliness. We have many opportunities to help people in all of those areas. But who's going to help me? I'm kind of hard of hearing. People make fun of me. Who's going to help me? My good buddy, Charlie Smith, years ago, I went to get a hearing test when I first knew Jan had been bugging me for some time. My good friend calls, knew I was going, and he said, "Hey, Roy," left me a message. I was gone. He said, "Hey, Roy, how did the hearing test go?" There was a pause, and then he said, "Hey, Roy," I said, "how did the hearing test go?" People just love you to death, don't they? In our struggles, people reach out. And sometimes there are people who are struggling and no one reaches. What do you do If tonight you are struggling and Roy Sharp forgets about you, what are you going to do? What if the elders forget about you? What are you going to do? What if your family forgets about you? And it might be that your struggle is really, really serious. But what do you do? God's Word encourages you to commit your suffering experiences to God, whatever they are. We wouldn't have time if we just started over here where the shelves are. If we just started right there and we went around to every person and we went back there and came this way and back that way and then down this way and let everybody who is experiencing suffering in one way or another, if we described it, we would probably be overwhelmed in the first place because we don't understand that some people are suffering. We don't know it and we can't do anything about it. But there are people who are. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 19, Peter says, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator." How do you go about committing your suffering experiences? First of all, you commit your soul to God to doing good. You begin to think about others. You begin to do for others in whatever way you can. It's hard work when you are struggling to look at other people and to understand that there are others who are struggling. And it is quite likely that anybody in this room that has a serious struggle, and we have some, you could go outside this building and you wouldn't have to walk very far to find someone struggling more than you. Would you reach out to them? As you commit your soul to the Lord in doing good in the midst of the suffering experiences, that's exactly what Jesus did when he came into the world. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 23, Peter's describing Jesus, and it ought to be a description of us. You remember Galatians 2:20, Paul saying, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ liveth in me." That's what God's desire is for us, for Christ to come alive in you, for Christ to come alive in me. And if it happens in great ways, here's one of the ways that people will see you, as we're able to see Christ through this description by the Apostle Peter, who, when he was reviled, he did not revile in turn. When he suffered, he didn't threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. How hard is it for Christ to be seen in us? When I'm suffering and when I'm struggling and you forget me, it's awfully easy to point the finger at you. It's awfully easy to say to the elders, "Where are you?" It's awfully easy to say to the deacons, "I thought you were workers." It's awfully easy to say, "Christian people that are supposed to be my friends, where are you? What is wrong with you?" But if the Lord is to be seen in us, we're going to commit our suffering experiences to the Lord, and we'll not revile those who mistreat us in some way or do not help us in some way. When we suffer, we'll not threaten, but our encouragement in God's will is to commit ourselves to the one who will ultimately judge righteously. Our next song is 587. It will be used as our song of encouragement tonight. As we think about commitment and we think about this foundation of our bodies being dedicated to God, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, and we think about us not permitting the world to shove us into a mold and shape us into something worldly, and we seek that perfect will of God, when we do that, we'll be ready to commit our souls to God the God of heaven. When everything is said and done, the only possession that we have that really matters in the long run is our soul. Each one of us has to decide what we will commit our souls to. That part of us that God designed to live forever, that part that will never die, that part of us that can commit by choice to God of heaven so that we might live with Him forever, that part of us that we could choose to commit to the world. We can commit to a life of being led astray by the devil, by his angels, by people who are not concerned about committing their souls to God. In the hour of death, when this life is over for every one of us, if we built our lives on that foundation from Romans 12, 1 and 2, we can with great confidence commit our very souls to God. The psalmist in Psalm 31 and verse 5 said, "Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." Can you say with the psalmist that God has redeemed you? He has purchased you. You see, He's done what He can. The price has been paid, but you have to accept. You have to accept that price for yourself by repenting of your sins and being washed in the blood of the Lamb by being baptized into Christ. To be faithful, once you do that, as we think about committing our souls to God, where are you in your level of commitment tonight? If you're in the audience and your commitment is not where it needs to be, our very, very purpose in this song is to invite you to come to the Lord, committing yourself fully and wholly to Him. Please come as we stand and as we sing. Sola sed.